Youth Work Plus podcast. This is episode 7. We're talking about managing bad behaviour today. I'm Becky and this is Ollie. We're talking about managing bad behaviour today, Ollie. I guess, depending on your context, this might be an easier or harder thing to have to deal with. And what I mean by that is, if we work with young people from the community, there might not be perhaps the boundaries there that there is within some church families, but then you also might have some church families that don't have boundaries either.
Yeah.
And have bad behaviour.
Or church families whose boundaries at home are so strict that when they come to youth stuff, they really want to like go wild because it's relaxed a little bit.
Yeah, so we want to talk a little bit about how to manage some of that bad behaviour in a way that finds the right balance between obviously portraying God's love and forgiveness, which we obviously want to make sure that every child and young person
quite
knows.
Quite a big miss.
At the same time as trying to instill kind of boundaries that have consequences so that we can make sure that we're providing safe places for children and young people to hang out where they can thrive and get the most out of it. Mm. So I guess maybe we should unpack a little bit about what we mean by bad behaviour.
Yeah. And I think being really clear about the behaviour and not the person is a really massive distinction. Because we all have those young people who are a bit annoying, who doesn't matter what they do, they annoy us. And then the ones that can behave like however they like, and for some reason, like, we're just soft on them. And I think it's really important to kind of remove those things and just think about culture setting. I view behaviour management more as a culture setting.
Yeah, I think so. Thing. Yeah, and I think also, like, it's really important, isn't it, that we are building places where young people feel safe to come to and where they feel like they're getting the most out of it. And actually, if there are annoying young people who behave badly, who are never told off, then that's going to annoy them as well.
Yeah.
So, and might, you know, put them off from coming back. So,
yeah, and full disclosure, I am someone who hates conflict. I'm massively conflict averse.
Yeah.
And I work in an environment where the young people have known me for a really long time and we like each other, hopefully, which is good. I have had some experience of working in open access youth centres and young people in the community. So, but I'll, yeah, we can defer to some of Becky's wisdom on managing a variety of things. I was listening to a talk and someone described, it was about parenting, but I think it works with managing behaviour in young people. The goal isn't just to get the behaviour, we're actually trying to help them develop character.
Yeah.
And if they're only doing good stuff when you're looking, that's a bit like sellotaping fruit onto a tree, whereas actually you want to help the tree to kind of grow and thrive. And if we don't make good environments, then we're just, we're not protecting people and we're not allowing people to thrive and grow.
Yeah, so the kind of bad behaviour that we're talking about could range from a whole bunch of things. So it could be like young people not listening when you're trying to teach something or trying to lead something, or them just messing about and not behaving as you would expect when you're trying to lead a session. It might be young people picking on other young people or disrespecting the leaders and not doing what they're being told to do, disrespecting the equipment. Swearing, ranging to like more serious things like fighting with each other. And we want to obviously try and reflect God in who we are and how we lead. And we want the young people to feel loved and accepted for who they are, no matter what. And sometimes when we deal with bad behavior, we might do that in a certain way that makes those young people feel like they are less loved or less valued, which obviously is the opposite of what we're trying to do. And so it's really important that they continue to understand that unending forgiveness, but the same that God offers all of us, but at the same time we can't just let them get away with everything, because we need to build those safe places where they're going to thrive, but also ensure they get the most out of everything and that there are consequences for when they break boundaries and break rules and stuff.
And in some ways that, I think, shows a value of the young person. You're not writing them off just because they behave badly. You're not saying kind of never come back, we don't want you.
Yeah.
But exactly. You are saying I see to who you are, and that behavior is detached from you. We don't want that, but we do want you. And I think it does show a value. I'm willing to put the effort in, because it's much easier just to write a young person off. And we've all been, I guess we've all been tempted to do that.
Yeah.
They're the annoying kid. They're the naughty kid. Nothing's ever going to change. Whereas actually by putting the effort in and investing in them, I think we are showing
that. And I think part of it is understanding like sometimes what is behind the bad behavior, that sometimes like it is hurt people who hurt people.
Yeah.
There's that quote, isn't there? And so sometimes, you know, young people are more difficult because they're more troubled, because there's stuff going on at home that we might not know about, because they've experienced abuse in the past or all sorts of things that we might not be aware of. And so sometimes when we see bad behavior, we just see it as annoying or disrupting what we're trying to build. When in reality, we need to kind of ask for God's eyes to see through that, to see the person he created underneath that bad behavior, and to try and understand a little bit about why they might have got that way and how we can help them to be the best version of them. And it's that whole thing, isn't it, of, like not saying to somebody that they can never come back, because that is, you know, the total opposite of what we're trying to do. Like, we're trying to make sure that every young person feels loved and accepted and welcomed. And if we tell young people they can't come for an extended period of time because of their behavior, then that's not the that's not really the message that we're trying to we're trying to get them to understand.
And by saying we want them at their best, we're saying that there is a best of them that we see and appreciate. And I think some bad behavior can come from good places.
Yeah.
So a couple of times I've known young people be really, really empathetic and really good at understanding others, which means they're really, really good at cutting people down and being mean with their words. And actually that empathy is a good thing. It's just that it's turned into something bad. And there's another kid who used to beat people up a lot, but he was doing it for noble reasons. He was sticking up for people. And so actually not cutting down the nobleness of what he was trying to do. Yeah, standing up for people is a good thing.
Yeah.
But maybe when you're here, please don't hit them.
Yeah. And then also there's the whole other side of it, isn't there? That like we have to accept that children and young people are children and young people. They're not adults yet. They're not fully grown. They're still trying to learn how to behave. And so some of those boundaries and rules that we expect them to follow actually help them to learn what's wrong and right. Sometimes they don't know that their behavior is bad.
Yeah.
Until we tell them not to swear during our activities, or that, you know, listening to other people is really important, and like try and instill some of those things in them so that, like you said earlier, they build them into their character and they have them for life. And those things are really important. So let's talk about, let's unpack setting rules and what that kind of looks like. So in my context, like I've been involved in community youth work and a lot of church-based stuff and some school stuff and a whole mixture, really. But in my experience, it's been like the community young people that have needed the most boundaries and it's been the most useful to write rules for, because they haven't grown up knowing us as leaders. We don't necessarily know the parents very well, and they're kind of new to our activities, so they're not really sure what's expected of them. And so we would kind of sit down with our after-school club we used to run, and with the young people who came to it, and kind of revisit those rules once a year kind of thing, to put together a set of guidelines. We'd come from the starting point of like, what does it look like to have the best kind of safest after-school club? And what are the kind of expectations we have on everybody who comes there, with how we expect them to behave to make that place? So we would get them to write down, you know, all the sort of usual stuff, like listening to each other and not bullying people and respecting the equipment and not swearing. Even though these young people weren't from Christian backgrounds, like we still wanted to make that a thing because we wanted them to, just behave well. And I guess swearing is not something that is tolerated within schools. So, or...
It helps develop church environments,
usually.
Well.
Yeah.
Like knowing what your language is appropriate in different places. And I think the rule setting is really important, because you want buy-in from the people. Otherwise, you spend your whole time fighting against the tide.
Yeah.
So you want to do the difficult work early on, to make life easier later.
Yeah.
And we always start from a place of, well, what do you want? So no one really wants to follow rules. I mean, maybe some people do, but yeah. we all want. So for example, like listening to each other, yeah. we would talk about, you know, the experience of being listened to in an environment where yeah. you feel like you can share something that you're not sure about yet, or you're mm-hmm. a bit vulnerable. And yeah. and then you say, okay, well, to get that, everyone has to agree.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to jump down each other's throat. We're just gonna, yeah. we're only going to be able to listen. But yeah, having that thing, what do you want? And how you're going to get it, I think is...
Yeah, helpful. And I think as well, like when you get young people involved to make the rules or the guidelines, or whatever you're going to call them, guidelines sounds a little bit less strict than rules. But then they're, you know that they're aware of them. Like yeah. it's not just you've got like an unwritten set of rules somewhere that you're expecting them to keep, but they don't actually know them. So then when they misbehave, they're like, oh, I didn't know that was the rules.
Yeah.
And that can always be an excuse yeah. that comes up. And so we used to like have them laminated on sheets of paper that we put on the wall, like two or three on every wall in the club where we used to, the room where we used to have our after school club, and like they couldn't not notice them.
Yeah, they knew they existed.
Yeah, they knew they were there. And it also had on the bottom like what the consequences were. So that kind of leads kind of into the consequences thing, that actually if you're going to have rules and guidelines, there has to be some kind of consequence for breaking yeah. them. Otherwise, what's the point in having them? So there needs to be like something that happens when those rules are broken that makes young people aware that, you know, it's not okay to break the rules, but also isn't going to be something that is so terrible. Like, you know, they break a rule once and they can never come back. Like yeah. that's not an appropriate consequence for rule breaking. So it needs to be like something that is appropriate for your group. And maybe like we used to have a system, like a red card, yellow card system, where like if they broke a rule once that was on one of the laminated sheets, then they got a yellow card. And if they got three yellow cards within one session, then that meant a red card and they couldn't come back the next week. And so for something like an after school club where they love coming and they love playing the games consoles and they love hanging out there, like that was like a deterrent
yeah.
for them to behave and not break the rules. And they still did. I mean, like it happened occasionally, but you know, usually what happened was once they got to like two yellow cards, they were like, oh no, better behave well for the rest of the club today because I don't want to not be able to come back yeah. next week. And then there was some behaviors and some things that weren't necessarily listed on the rules that meant, you know, young people got a straight red card. So like if they like, you know, really went off on one and swore and shouted at a leader, that was, you know, more serious than just disrespecting them. Or if they got into a fight with another young person, then that's like something that is like beyond those kind of yellow cards, and they'd get a red card straight away. And obviously there are some things like that, like if they had a fight within our club, it was part of our procedure to then report that back to the school, because we were running the after-school club in connection with the local school. And so they would want to know like which kids we were having come there and want us to report back on behaviour and stuff, which meant that actually young people were more likely to behave because they didn't want to also face consequences at school for their bad behaviour. And we'd only tell them, you know, we wouldn't tell them about all the yellow card stuff, but we'd tell them, yeah, if serious stuff happened and young people threw chairs across the room or...
And I think it's good because it's trackable and consistent. I think whatever we put in as a consequence needs to be fair and consistently applied and trackable. So it's like, well, hang on, last week I got away with this and this week I can't. And I think it's the kind of carding system works well for something like an after school club, something more like a youth group where you're like meeting in someone's house or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think the consequences maybe are more nuanced, but they know it's about knowing where the line is and then talking with them afterwards and being like, actually the consequence of you breaking this rule is that you're disrupting the thing that we're trying to build, and either you want to be a part of it or you don't.
Yeah.
Make your choice, you know. And I think empowering the young people to say, that's cool, if you don't want what we're trying to do, then that's okay. But don't, you know, if you do, these are the things, and we can work with you and be like, if you don't think this is working, but yeah, I think there are scales, aren't there, of consequences, but I think it should always be consistent and not a surprise or a shock, like, oh my goodness, this has happened to me, like,
I don't and I think it's different again, isn't it, like with church young people, when you're most likely to know the parents, like you can, when you need to, you can have that conversation with everybody. It doesn't just have to be with the young person. Like if they're having consistent bad behavior, you can have a conversation with parents and say, this is what's happening, and try and kind of mediate and move past it together with parents. I think that's a lot harder to do with community youth work when you don't necessarily know the parents. Mm. Some of them might get picked up by parents and you might know them or see them every now and then. Some of them might walk home on their own and you never see the parent. So like it can be, it's different depending on the context, I guess. But yeah, just touching on the really bad behavior thing. Like sometimes it's worth, I guess, if you're starting a new thing or even if you're running something already, to think through with your team, what does really bad behavior look like in this context? And what are we going to do if this happens?
Yeah.
Because I think with youth work and kids work, it is unpredictable and you can never really tell like whether something really bad is about to kick off, like whether, you know, your building or equipment's going to get purposefully vandalized.
Yeah.
If stuff's going to get stolen.
Things can turn violent quite quickly. We've had a couple of instances. One, a young leader pinned someone against a wall by their neck. You're like, whoa, hang on, that's, how do we deal with this? Had people threatening to stab leaders outside. Mm-hmm. Mm. Had one young person who was massive, like he was maybe 17 or 15, but he was like 6'5" and huge, just like smashing up the place because he was angry. Yeah. And like those sorts of behaviours.
Yeah.
There needs,
Yeah, like sometimes it's having in mind what you're going to do to mitigate that. So like if a young person kicking off like that and smashing stuff, the easier thing sometimes is to get all the other young people out of that room rather than try and, you know, restrain or do something with the young person.
There was no chance I was restraining that young person. He was huge. He'd have thrown me across the room.
So like it's worth thinking through those scenarios so that you know what you're going to do. Like in what case are you going to call the police? You know, at what stage?
Yeah.
So that your other leaders feel equipped to deal with those kind of things as well and know what to do. If this comes up, this is what we do. You know, if young people are refusing to leave the building after a certain period of time, We're gonna need to call the police or call parents to get them to leave. So there's you know, other ways to deal with some of that really bad behaviour. And sometimes we can feel bad that, you know, if, you know, stuff is criminal or laws have been broken, like sometimes we can feel like the bad guy for getting police involved because, you know, we don't want to lose favour with the young people and we don't want to escalate it to something that it didn't need to be.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like sometimes those young people need to learn that when they break the law, there are criminal consequences for that. And sometimes, you know, they're not arrested or anything. They're just given a stern warning by the police, which is sometimes kind of what they need to realize that
actually this is quite bad.
Yeah, this is bad and it's not okay.
And I think the important thing, which is easy to say when you're not in the middle of it, but I tend to panic in bad behavior situations when they're really bad and being able to have a plan beforehand so that you don't panic and you can remain calm and think, okay, well, what do we do here? What is the useful way to diffuse the situation? Because sometimes we can get to threats and escalation. Stop doing that or I'll call the police. And it's like with parenting, like you can, you only really should make the assertions that you're going to follow through. So you've done this, I'm calling the police, I'm sorry, that's just what we do. Rather than like the temptation to like as the behavior escalates we escalate and it just creates a kind of mess,
which links really well into like I think how we tell young people off, because I think we're human, we can get frustrated and angry really easily, especially when we've spent hours putting together a session that we wanted to go really well or wanted to go a certain way, and you know, that hasn't happened. Like we can get angry or the temptation is to yell or lose our temper because we want to set that straight.
Yeah, and it's annoying and you're angry.
Yeah.
And hurt as well, because you put a lot of your person into that.
Yeah.
But I think learning to not take it personally is really important.
And sometimes we might feel, you know, really disrespected, or hurt because we feel, yeah, we take it personally.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really important to understand that that doesn't help. Like when we lose our temper,
yeah,
like that is only going to make it worse, because not only are we trying to model this kind of loving, forgiving, you know, spirit of God to the young people that we work with, also like we're trying to help them to not lose their temper or get angry.
Yeah.
And when we do, like, and I'm not saying we always have to be perfect and, you know, we never have to lose our temper and we have to pretend like we are superhuman beings, because we're not, and we do lose our temper sometimes, and we're not perfect, but I think we can think through how we're going to deal with situations as they happen and make sure that we equip all of our team as well to understand how to deal with the behavior, so that when it does happen and we feel like we're getting angry, that we know how we're going to deal with it in the best way and not just fly off the handle and yell and shout at young people. Because when young people break a rule or a boundary and they need to know the consequence, sometimes in our anger, we don't explain that properly.
Yeah.
So they don't understand.
Or we overcorrect.
Yeah. So, you know, they don't understand that what they've done wrong. They don't understand what the consequence really is. And they just feel like belittled by the fact that someone shouted at them and less valued because someone shouted at them.
But sometimes shouting can actually work. But it doesn't necessarily mean it's good. I remember a couple of times, I don't shout or get cross very often generally. And it was a shock for the young people to see me get like that. Yeah. And they were like, oh, flipping it, we've gone too far.
Yeah.
And that was, it worked and it was effective. And but the more you do it, the less effective it is. We all know someone who like shouts and screams all the time and eventually you just sort of phase it out. Whatever, they're doing that again.
Yeah.
Whereas if we're known for being measured and calm and loving.
Yeah.
So it does sometimes work. It just doesn't necessarily mean it's the best way to deal with stuff.
Yeah.
But sometimes it is. If there's a situation that's dangerous, shouting and being like, absolutely not, this isn't happening. Yeah. I am actually angry because something, you know. One time, young people were throwing explosives at each other. those little firecrackers and that. Yeah. I shouted. And they stopped quite quickly, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, and danger is one of those things where even with toddlers, if they're going to walk out in the road, there needs to be a firm no shouted in their direction.
Yeah,
so and that scare they don't them get a hurt. Bit. Yeah. Yeah, and so sometimes, you know, it needs to happen. But I think sometimes, you know, we just need to be measured in how we respond to these things, so that, you know, and I guess relative to the to what they've done wrong. Like if someone's just, you know, accidentally said a swear word for you to fly off the handle, because you're having a bad day, or because you know, that seems worse than it is, that's not going to be helpful. So, you know, trying to, how we deal with that bad behavior is really important. Sometimes, you know, it's okay to say there and then, you know, if it's a minor thing in front of everybody, you know, don't do that, or that's not how we behave here, or come on, you know, language, you know, think about what you're saying, or think about how you're treating people. We don't talk over people, and, you know, we don't say derogatory things to others, those kind of things. Like, we can say them in the open in front of everybody, but sometimes, you know, when young people have messed up, it's better to take them out of the room and explain what they've done and do it privately, because sometimes, you know, they might be, and it could be all different contexts here, like they could be a bit more vulnerable and actually need to just have that explained to them one-to-one, so they're not belittled in front of everybody. And
And you can get the backstory too. So if it's something extreme, like someone's being racist or violent, we pulled someone aside and we're like, hey, what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
And the backstory was that they'd experienced racism from first and given it back. Actually we were then in that context, not in an embarrassing way, being like, what happened to you was not okay, that's not right, and we're sorry we missed it, but also your response was inappropriate too, can you not do it again? And that guy, to be fair, he changed his behavior around, and because he knew that we appreciated what he was going through too. And I think if you embarrass someone in front of everyone and be like, oh, why are you being so racist? It undermines them and it labels them and all those kind of things, which we don't want to do. Whereas privately, you can have a conversation and be like, it's like the classic, oh, I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed. But, you know, actually what, this isn't you, why are you doing this?
Yeah, and I think as well, like sometimes behaviour is, sometimes it isn't, but sometimes it is for attention.
Yeah.
And so sometimes young people need to be taken aside to be explained to properly that, like, we value you as a person and we want you to be the best version of you, but what you've just done is not okay and this is why. And explain it, you know, properly so that they know next time they think about it and they think, oh, actually, that's not acceptable and this is why.
And from that place, we can show love and forgiveness, which is... And I think that's a real gift that we can offer, particularly in our culture today, because our culture today is quite judgy. If you're in an environment where you make a mistake or you put a foot wrong, especially if it's a fairly major one, an environment that shows you love and shows that you're not defined by your mistakes is quite countercultural and can be transformative to behaviour. I've definitely changed my behaviour more from people loving me than people shouting at me and judging me. And I think...
Yeah.
If we get that balance right, there's consequences for your behaviour, but actually we love you and we forgive you. You do it again, there'll be the same consequences, but you are forgiven. It's not defining of who you
are. Totally. And I think as well, like for young people, sometimes they don't understand why something is wrong. So like, you know, their opinion might be swearing isn't a big deal.
Yeah, because like, it's their culture. They swear all the time.
They hear it at home from parents. They swear it all the time and they hear it from friends all the time. And so to actually be in a place where that isn't really tolerated as much, which they'll probably encounter at some point in a workplace or, you know, some other place.
Toddler group when they have kids or whatever.
Yeah. So like, you know, those kind of, like some of those things that we choose to do and have as expectations can be really eye-opening because they realise that actually this doesn't have to be the way I behave and this doesn't have to be the way things are. That actually I can be a better version of me and there is a better way to deal with things. Some of that's really eye-opening and transformational for the young people we work with.
And that comes back to their character. They're not pretending to be good in front of us. They're learning and growing. And that's what we're aiming at. Yeah. It's not that we just want our group to go well and they can think and do and behave what they like when they get outside. Actually, we are trying to develop these young people in a love, because we love them. And it should always, whatever the boundaries, the rules, the discipline, all of it needs to come from love. And if we find it's just coming from a place of anger or preciousness about the thing we're making, that can be a bit of a red flag, I think.
Yeah. So the last thing we just wanted to say, wasn't it, was actually the importance of equipping teams to deal with behaviour in the same way. Because like if the only person dealing with the bad behaviour is the paid youth worker or the main person who's coordinating the activity, or you've designated a certain person to be the bad cop who always does the telling off, then like that's not a good thing. Like we need to have all of the leaders on a level playing field so that everybody's watching out for behaviour so that it's not just when that person's in the room that everyone's going to behave or when that person's at the club that they're going to behave. It needs to be everybody, partly because it might not always be that person who notices.
Yeah.
That person might not always be there when the bad behaviour happens.
Yeah. And also nobody wants to be the bad cop either. And we all have our own like blind spots. If one person's the bad cop, but at that point it's the young person who they love and they think is the best person ever, and they do something a bit sly that needs a consequence, then we're relying on them to do the telling off. I don't know. No one wants to be that, but also as a team, we're stronger and
therefore
we're more consistent and we're calmer and we're more collected.
Yeah. And if everybody knows what's expected and everybody knows how to deal with it, then you're going to have a much better chance of actually keeping on top of the bad behaviour in some of those contexts. And also the young people know what to expect from all the leaders, not just some of them.
Yeah.
Like they know that, you know, they're not just supposed to not swear in front of that one leader, or they're not just supposed to behave in front of that one person. You know, that's the behaviour that's expected at this whole club in front of everybody.
Yeah.
And all the leaders know about what to do and how to respond. And if you're giving out stuff like yellow cards, like they might receive a yellow card from three different leaders. And so you need some kind of recording mechanism, like Ollie said before, to make sure you record that down so that when they get to, if your limit is three and then you get a red card, you need to know when that three has hit the mark, especially if it's from three leaders. So kind of equipping our teams is really important, and also, you know, making sure they all understand what you're trying to, what the method behind the madness is, like what you're trying to do, what you're trying to build, the whole love and forgiveness thing, and the importance between sticking to the boundaries and making sure young people keep to the rules, and instilling that character in them, and the whole picture, not just like the little bit of like, these are the rules and this is what we do, but the whole picture, so they're in on it as well.
Yeah, and it makes for a safer environment for you, for your team as well, because they know what's an appropriate response to certain behaviours. They don't feel so lost. And I've definitely been a terror for just being like, yeah, just go, it'll all be fine. But actually that's going to be difficult, and you don't know how to react to certain behaviours.
Yeah.
And then you feel bad as a leader because you stepped over a line you didn't realise existed.
And I think sometimes like it's really key to have like a debrief at the end of your activity so that you can run over all those things, so that like if somebody, you know, noticed something but they weren't really sure how to approach it in the moment, or think they did a bad job and want to kind of check that they did the right thing, then you can talk through all of that stuff and say, you know, oh, you know, Johnny has been behaving badly again this week, you know, what are we going to do about it next week, kind of thing. Or this other young person came to me and said they were being picked on, but none of us have seen it. You know, we need to make sure we're vigilant and keep an eye on it. And so there's loads of things that, you know, make having a debrief really important. And that, I mean, that's not like an extra hour tagged onto the end of youth club or kids club or whatever, but like maybe just a 10 minutes at the end. How did this go, everyone? Like, you know, what could we improve on? What went well? What can we pray for?
Yeah.
Three simple questions that help you be better leaders next time. That can be really important.
Cool. Well,
so, yeah,
that's our thoughts. Thank you for listening. We'd really love to hear from you if you've had like behaviours, and if you have kind of tips or techniques that you use to manage behaviour in your groups.
Yeah.
And we love a story. So any stories of, you know, redemptive stories or stories where you've been like, oh my goodness, this was a disaster and this is the behaviour we had. Get in touch with us.
Or if you're struggling as well, like don't really know how to implement rules or deal with behaviour in the best way, then we're always happy to help you and encourage you and advise you, and that's what we do for free through Youth Work Plus. So get in touch on our Instagram or website. Other than that though, thank you for listening. Don't forget to rate, like, share, subscribe, and that helps you not only find us again but other people as well. And we really hope you enjoyed this podcast. Thanks very much. See you later.